The first reading is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep with him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much for those readings. It's the second reading there in Mark chapter 10 on page 1015 we'll be focusing on. So please do keep that in sight. And let's pray together. Father God, as we reflect this afternoon on the life of the Queen, please point us to Jesus Christ, who she trusted and followed. And please strengthen our faith in him. Amen. I'd like to start by sharing a story about the Queen, which has touched and tickled me over the last few days. Maybe you've seen the clip of the Royal Protection Officer being interviewed on Sky News, and he describes how he was walking with the Queen in Scotland, and it was just the two of them together, and they met two American tourists on a walking holiday coming the other way, and the tourists didn't recognise the Queen. So one tourist asked the Queen where she lived, and she said, I live in London, but I've got a holiday home in these parts. And then he asked, well, how long have you been coming up here? And the Queen said, since I was a girl, over 80 years. And then the tourist asked her, have you ever met the Queen? And she pointed to her protection officer and said, Dickie here has met her many times. So then the tourist asked the policeman, what's she like? And he said, she can be rather cantankerous at times, but she has a good sense of humour. And the tourist then got out his mobile phone, handed it to the Queen, and asked her to take a photo of him and the protection officer, which she did. And then they all swapped places, and the policeman took a photo of the Queen and the tourist. And as they walked away, still not knowing who it was, the Queen said, apparently, "I would love to be a fly on the wall when he shows that photo back home and someone tells him who I am." Well, I love that story because it captures the Queen's sense of humour, but also her humility, her deep humility. The death of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, although she was 96 years old, has come as a profound shock to the whole country. The Queen has been such a cherished presence in our lives and a source of stability to our nation. In fact, few of us can remember a time, if we have grown up and lived in this country, when she was not our Queen. And actually, for many of us, it feels like we've lost a member of our family, even though we have probably never met her. And so we grieve. Alongside grief, we also feel thankfulness. A thankfulness to God for the Queen's amazing service and for her Christian faith. And so we've decided today to pause our planned sermon series just for 1 week and to preach on part of God's word that speaks especially to this time of mourning and thankfulness. And what we've done is we've simply gone forward a few chapters in Mark's gospel from where we were last week. And we're going to be thinking about Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. And in this passage, Jesus tells us what true greatness really is. He shows us what it is to be truly great. The reading starts with two of Jesus' disciples, James and John, coming to him with a request. And they ask to sit at his right and his left in glory. They're asking for the best seats in heaven. And Jesus says, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" Now, in December, when we come back to this passage, we will study the detail. But let me say for now, the cup and the baptism are symbols of suffering. Jesus is saying true greatness means suffering. And then verse 41, when the 10, the other apostles, heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. They were indignant, not, I'm afraid, because they knew it was wrong to ask for the best seats in heaven, but because they wished that they had asked first. And so verse 42, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus teaches here something absolutely revolutionary. He teaches that true greatness is service. His teaching has shaped the Queen's whole life. It's a teaching which our world desperately needs today, and it's a teaching which always needs to sink into our hearts. And so we're going to think this afternoon about the Queen's service, about Jesus' service, and then last of all, about our service, as we see what true greatness really is. So first then, the Queen's service. In a world where rulers lord it over people and use their power for their own advantage, the Queen has stood out. Profoundly influenced by her Christian faith, she used her position to serve. On her 21st birthday, the Queen broadcast to the world with these words, "I declare before you that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service. God help me to make good my vow." And God did help her. She did make good that vow. The Queen worked incredibly hard. Well into her 90s, she worked over 40 hours a week. She was patron of over 600 charities. And she hosted 30,000 people a year in garden parties alone, which by my calculation makes a mere 2,100,000 garden guests over her reign. Overseas, she travelled more than 1 million miles and visited 117 different countries on official business. I'm told that the Queen never called her staff her servants. She was the servant, they were her staff, and she treated them with the utmost respect. Whether she was speaking to heads of state or children or care home residents, the Queen gave each person she spoke to her utter attention. They felt like the only person in the room. Let me give one example of her care for individual people. Every year, a man called Albert Symes sent the Queen a Christmas card from Izmir in Turkey, where he worked. Now, just imagine how many thousands of Christmas cards the Queen must have got every year. But in 1972, the Queen visited Izmir, and Albert Symes was introduced to her. And to his amazement, she said, "So it's you who's been sending me those lovely Christmas cards." Well, in 2011, Albert died, and his grandson, Andrew Symes, picked up the baton and sent the Queen a Christmas card. Andrew Symes, actually a minister in the Church of England, he's been to speak here. And that January, Andrew received a letter from the Queen, and it said this: "When I received a Christmas card from a different Symes this year, I instructed my office to research your grandfather's whereabouts. Therefore, it is with much sadness I have learned of his passing and extend my condolences to you and your family." What care for one family, for one person. What a servant the Queen was. Well, what made the Queen such a servant? It was her Christian faith, the fact that she knew Jesus Christ. I very much enjoyed looking back over some of the Queen's Christmas speeches. Every year on Christmas Day, she broadcasts to the nation. And it has been wonderful, as the years have gone by, to hear her speaking more and more of her Christian faith as her inspiration and strength. So in 2012, the Queen said this: "This is the time of year when we remember that God sent his only Son, not to be served, but to serve. He restored love and service to the center of our lives in the person of Jesus Christ." That was the source of the Queen's service, her faith in Christ. Well, as we look back over her life and reign, we should give such thanks to God for her Christian faith. So many rulers in this world, they use their power to advance their own ego or for their own enrichment. We have been so privileged to have had a queen who knew Jesus and who used her position to serve. And her service, that attitude of service, has had an immense influence on our national life and internationally. As we look ahead to the new reign, we heard King Charles III in his broadcast to the nation renew that same promise of lifelong service. Wasn't that hugely encouraging to hear him say that? Scripture tells us to pray for kings and all in authority. We must pray for His Majesty and his heavy responsibilities, particularly that he will be filled with faith in Christ as his mother was, and filled with that same spirit of service and with wisdom and strength to serve as she did. Well, the Queen's service was empowered by the example of Jesus. So I want to turn now to Jesus' service as we understand what shaped our extraordinary Queen. And in the last verse of our reading, verse 45 there, Jesus explains the reason why true greatness is found in service. Verse 45: "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Every word of that sentence is packed full of meaning. Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. It's a strange-sounding title. It's drawn from the Old Testament book of Daniel, where in chapter 7, one like a Son of Man is given authority and power to rule over all people forever. So when the Queen died, she was Queen of 15 countries. Let me see if I can list them, count as I go. She was Queen of the United Kingdom, of Canada, of Australia, of New Zealand and Jamaica. She was Queen of the Bahamas, of Grenada, of Papua New Guinea, of the Solomon Islands and of Tuvalu. She was Queen of St. Lucia, of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, that's one, of Belize, of Antigua and Barbuda, that's one, and Queen of St. Kitts and St. Nevis. Queen of 15 countries. at the end, and she ruled for 70 years. But Jesus Christ, as the Son of Man, rules over all peoples forever. And you would think, with such power, of course he came into the world to be served, to be waited on hand and foot. But no, even the Son of Man, with all that power, did not come to be served, but to serve. His whole life was about serving others. And in the end, he served in the most costly, humble, and loving way imaginable when he gave his life as a ransom for many. Ransom is a price paid to set people free. Jesus Christ gave his life to set us free from sin and death. He's the one person who never sinned. He always loved the Lord his God with all his heart. He always loved his neighbor as himself. But on the cross, he took our place and paid for our sin. The result of that is that if we trust in him, we are set free. Set free from our sins because we have forgiveness and restored relationship with God. And if we trust in him, we're set free from death. Because we are forgiven, when the believer leaves this world, it's not to face the judgment of God as our sins deserve, but to spend eternity with him, all because Jesus died for us. I'm told that the highest ransom ever paid was the ransom paid to free Richard the Lionheart when he was taken captive by Leopold of Austria on his way back from the Crusades. The trials of monarchy were a bit different in those days. The ransom demanded was 3 times the whole revenue of England, which we calculated as about £3 billion, and it was paid to set him free. But that's not the highest ransom ever paid, is it? The highest ransom ever paid was paid by Jesus Christ, who gave his life to set you free from sin and death, the most loving act of service we can imagine. It's been truly wonderful these past 70 years to have had a servant queen on the throne of England. And it is truly life-changing to know that we have a servant king on the throne of the universe forever. If we know Jesus Christ, we know that the world, our nation, and our lives are held in his loving hands. If we know Jesus Christ, then we know that in this changing world, our King loves us. And our King serves us still today as he provides and protects for us. And that we have a future ahead of us with our King. We have a servant King. This means that even as we grieve for the Queen, we do not grieve as those with no hope. For we know that she is alive with Christ in heaven. With all those who died trusting in Jesus, she worships now around a different throne. And she's not there because she was a good queen, although she was. She is there simply because she trusted in Jesus as her Savior. The queen herself knew this. She said in 2011, God sent into the world a unique person. Neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a savior with the power to forgive. She is in glory because she trusted in Jesus, her savior, the servant king. Well, we've seen the queen's service and Jesus' service. Now, third of all, let's think about our service. See, in verse 43, Jesus said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. The way to be truly great in Jesus' kingdom is to be a servant. So to be truly great at home is not just to flop on the sofa, it's to serve the other people in the household. To be truly great at work is not to find ways of getting away with the bare minimum in the boring parts of the job. It's not to climb on others to get up the ladder of promotion. No, to be truly great at work is to serve in all we do, to help others learn and progress. Those who are great at church are not actually those in the limelight. It's those who do the unseen work behind the scenes to keep the place going, those who visit the needy, even though no one knows they're doing it. To be truly great in the community is to serve. It's to love the lonely, to support with our friendship those who are struggling with kids, with health, with work. And if we know Jesus, the most significant way to serve is to do what the Queen did, to do what she did in those Christmas speeches, to use whatever position and opportunity we have at home, at work, in the community, to point people to Jesus, boldly, unashamedly, lovingly, speaking of Jesus Christ as the Saviour who we all need. And Jesus tells us that true greatness is service. So what better way to respond to the Queen's death than by committing ourselves again to serving others as she did, because we know that Jesus served us at the cross. Well, we started with that story about the tourist who didn't recognize the Queen. And I do wonder what they said to him when he got home and showed them that second photograph and he realized his mistake. But let me ask you, do you recognize what inspired the Queen's remarkable life? It was her faith in Jesus Christ. Do you recognize who Jesus is and what he has done for you? He's the Son of Man, the King of Kings, and he gave his life to set you free from sin and death. And do you recognize what true greatness is? It's service. Let me give us a moment of quiet and then we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the life, the faith, and the service of the Queen. We pray that you would strengthen in us, as you did in her, faith in your Son, the servant King, who gave his life as a ransom for many. Teach us, O Lord, in our lives, at home, at work, everywhere we are, to serve as he did. Amen.